Randall, I'm on the call.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, this is Dr. Braithwaite. We're going to wait a couple more minutes to get started.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so what we were planning to do initially, Dr. Williams said he's on. Is anybody able to hear him?
No.
No.
Okay.
This is Randall. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead, Dr. Williams.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm sorry. I've been on for 15 minutes, but I just couldn't get to you. But thank you all very much. For letting me speak. Again, first thing from the governor and me is just thank you so much for what you're doing and continue to do and have done. You know, we started this on January 27th and we've met every day since then. We saw from other states what we thought might happen, and we've been fortunate here in Missouri to have a window to prepare, which we did. In my 30 years of doing this, you learn that you've got to be able to evolve quickly as information presents itself. We've learned four things about the virus specifically. It is that it definitely affects the elderly. It very much in congregated facilities like cruise ships and nursing homes and prisons is very contagious. It tends to be more of an urban disease than rural, and it also affects certain populations, such as healthcare workers and African Americans, with more infectivity and or morbidity. There's some estimates that 10 to 14% of cases are among first responders, and so we've been incredibly sensitive to that. Having practiced for 30 years, I have lots of colleagues who call me all the time, tell me about what they're seeing. We changed our testing guidelines today to make them more expansive. One concern I'd heard from first responders was that there was a requirement in there that you have a contact to be tested. We've eliminated that. Now, if you're a first responder, if you're symptomatic at all, and that's defined by the clinician who's testing you, then we'll do your lab. And so we very much want to get that back to you as quick as we can within 24 hours at our state lab. Moving forward based on the governor's four pillars to open up, meaning to do elective surgery and to move transition to a recovery phase. We have to have four things. We have to have enough testing. We have the ability to do 50,000 tests a week in Missouri now through 16 labs. And that's the PCR test. We have to have adequate PPE. It wouldn't make any sense to be doing elective surgery if you didn't have enough PPE for your emergencies. We are going to have enough hospital capacity, ventilators and things like that. And then the fourth thing we have is we want to have predictive analytics to predict where we think our hotspots will be so that we can box it in. So right now we're in a strategy in which when we have an outbreak, we're very much going in. Today it's a prison, it's a meatpacking plant, it's a nursing home. All weekend I've been involved with those, sending in a lot of tests and a lot of epi people to try to contain it in those facilities. And that'll be very much our strategy. We reached our peak here in Missouri about April 6th, it looks like. But we still have a way to go. We are still not to the other side of the curve. We're moving that way. We're plateauing and moving down. For the last 13 days or so, we've had less than 200 cases, so our rate of increase is significantly decreased. But as the governor would tell you, you know, this is not the time to take your foot off the gas, that we need to continue our social distancing very, very much by May 4th. Hope that we'll be able to transition back to getting people to work and to more of a normal life. And those guidelines are being written now. We're looking at kind of what that's going to look like. But I will stop there and answer any questions about anything if you want to ask me questions. So let me stop there. Anybody there?
All right, folks, if anybody has questions for Dr. Williams, just put them in the chat box and I can share those with him. So this is your chance, since Dr. Williams, the director of DHSS, he's probably the person that's best plugged in the state to help us. So any questions for Dr. Williams, just either unmute yourself and ask or put them in the chat box and I'll ask him.
This is Ken at South Scott County Ambulance. We were lucky enough to be able to get in on the phone, so we don't have access to chat box. The only question we would have is, what is the status as far as the state supplies of PPE? And we've had no luck purchasing anywhere else. And it's not like we haven't beat our brains out here. Predicted or has come up as quite a hot spot now, so we're just curious, you know, how PPE is looking and whether or not we might be able to obtain if we need it from the state.
So we're not getting any more from the strategic national stockpile, so we as the governor would tell you, Missouri has to find it itself. We are fortunate, you know, that our number of cases has decreased, which gives us a chance to kind of take our breath and stock it up. So I think we've spent at least $31 million and probably more by now. We just got $1.3 billion from the federal government to spend on COVID-19. So the answer is, at this moment in time, we don't have as much as we need for hospitals, long-term care facilities, and EMS and first responders. We are fortunate that partly because of our strategy, we have a marked decrease in cases, so we don't need as much PPE at this very moment in testing sites and things like that. And what we're hoping to do is to use the next 2 to 3 weeks to build up that capacity so that as we move electively into a more normal environment. But as I said yesterday at the press conference, it is our expectation that for the hospitals that are doing elective procedures, that they have to show that they have enough PPE to handle their emergencies before they start scheduling elective things. So our hope would be if they're getting that much to their normal suppliers, that opens up more on the free market for us to buy for you.
Thank you. And there was another comment from Eric Chandler that said, you know, check with your funeral homes to purchase supplies. And PPE has been an issue for everybody, according to Sam, that he again recommended that your best bet is to go through your healthcare coalition, because those as group purchasers probably will have priority over some of the smaller purchasers.
And then, as you know, we're getting ready. We get the machine, I think, tomorrow to refurbish our N95 respirators. I think we can do 80,000 a day. So that will help someone.
All right.
Hi, this is, I got a question.
Sam?
Yes, I finally got through. Thank you.
All right, well, go for it. Dr. Williams just answered a question for us about PPE. There's a comment in the chat box about getting PPE off of Amazon and eBay. I would caution folks about that, because apparently there is a huge amount of PPE out there. So I would make sure you're getting it from a approved source that actually does what it claims to do, and that you're not getting something that won't actually protect you. So be careful about that. Sam, you can feel free to comment on that as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, and I didn't hear Dr. Williams's response, but I'm sure that it would be similar, that the PPE orders are being made through the SNS, and we're receiving them as we can, and they're being shipped out as we get them.
And then we have another comment that says they're having difficulty receiving information from hospitals and health departments regarding the persons under investigation. Is anyone else still having this issue? And either Dr. Williams or Sam, do you have any comment on that?
I signed two waivers. One was for the local health departments to be required to notify dispatchers. And then I signed another one last week for hospitals to notify. So we've done everything I know to do, but if you know of anything else, that they are required to notify those two entities.
So, yeah, and like Dr. Williams said, the orders have been written. If that information isn't filtering down they have seen the waivers and they're still not being responsive to you, is that what you're sharing, John? Well, that's unfortunate. I think at that point, it might be worthwhile to maybe Sam can follow up on that and see if there's anything that we can do through the hospital association or something, because those waivers are in place for a reason, because there's a public health reason for everybody to know who the PUIs are. And EMS is certainly part of the emergency health.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
This is Assistant Chief Weaver from NHCSA Fire. My question is, when do you think there'll be widespread testing? We have many of our citizens and even folks we're responding to that are being denied tests, whether it's the local hospitals or Christian County Health Department. They're just not able to get those tests unless they are, you know, in a nursing home or already admitted to the hospital. So how can we open up and go back to work when we really don't have any widespread testing going on?
What we do, I mean, we have the capacity to do 50,000 tests a week in Missouri. We have 100 mobile testing sites. Remember that other than the 50 or 75 we do in the state lab, the other 49,000 there are no criteria for. a doctor can do them for any reason. So with all due respect, I just don't know the basis for that. I mean, you don't have to meet any criteria if you go to your local doctor and get tested. They can test you for any reason. We have 100 mobile testing sites around the state, so they're certainly there. And we just changed our criteria to broaden them for the state health lab. So you've got to remember that during the height of flu season, 90% of tests were negative. Flu season has basically ended in Missouri now, so that they're just very, I mean, our nationally, all of our labs are telling us that they're not anywhere near capacity because there's just not that many people walking around with coughs and fevers anymore. So I'm not sure why that is out there, but anybody who needs a test or wants to go to a clinician to get a test should be able to get a test.
Is there anywhere that those 100 mobile tests are listed? I'm just unaware of the locations.
Yeah, it's on our website, I believe. I'll double check on that. But yeah, I know it's on our website. Go to our website, www.health.mo.gov/coronavirus, and they're there.
Thank you very much.
In addition, we just put out 15 mobile Abbott machines covering 19 health departments. The press release has gone about there, and they can do rapid testing in 13 minutes. Now, they don't have enough cartridges to do that on a wide scale, but they've all been trained. And so now you can walk into 19 sites around the state and get a test back in 13 minutes.
That's great. Thank you for the information.
You're welcome.
All right, Dr. Williams, the next question is from Marcus Carr. Is there any progress or supporting data for antibody testing for responders? And if so, are there plans for widespread implementation for workforce protection?
Yes, there are. That's a great question. Thank you. So we got our test on Friday, FDA approved. It's going to take us about 2.5 weeks to validate it. So it'll be about another 2 weeks. We can do 175 an hour in our state lab, so we can do about 1,500 a day. And absolutely, we think one of the great utilities of that test would be to do widespread state testing on our first responders to see if they've developed immunity. So it'll probably be May before we roll that out, but it'll be through the state lab, it'll be free, and we'll be developing campaigns to just a little finger stick, and we will roll that out. So yeah, I think that's going to be a great advantage. Now, I think, obviously the vast majority of people in Missouri are going to come back negative for antibodies. So, but even that information will help you know where you stand. And so I think that'll be helpful.
Thanks, Dr. Williams. And I think that is really important. I know that's been on everybody's mind of, we're talking about starting to slowly reopen the state, and obviously it's critical for the EMS workforce to know that they're protected and that the testing is available. So good to know for everybody that will start rolling out in May, so we can look forward to that. Thank you. Other questions?
Yeah, and the other thing we're doing is obviously we're trying to build platforms, whether it's our 100 mobile testing sites or our Abbott machines or our antibody testing, because there will be some resurgence in the winter. I mean, we'll see something next November without a vaccine. So we obviously hope to use that time to build up our PPE, to build up our antibody testing, to build up our capacity to test. So we've thrown our resources to save as many lives and keep as many people safe as we can in this initial surge. And then we plan to use any widespread break without clusters to very much build up that capacity to be prepared should there be a second wave in the winter of next year.
All right. The next question is, the current waivers for EMS are dated through May the 15th. Is there any thought of those being extended this time?
Gosh, that's a great question. And to be honest with you, I've been so focused on the May 4th I hadn't thought about that. So thank you for asking me that. I need to think about that. So thank you. I'll discuss that with our legal counsel today. So the answer is I don't know, but I had so many other things going on. I hadn't thought about that. So thanks for mentioning that. And I'll check on it.
Thank you. It does seem like May 15th is a very long way away right now, doesn't it?
Well, no, but it's just a great, I mean, I just we have to be honest with you. I hadn't thought about that. And so I really appreciate you mentioning that to me. Very, very helpful. Thank you.
All right. Other questions, folks? We got some good ones going. What else is on folks' mind?
So Dr. Braithwaite and Dr. Williams, this is Sam. And again, I apologize for not being able to get on with some technical difficulties. And Dr. Williams, I don't know if you had an opportunity to discuss this or not, but I was hoping that maybe you could talk about the governor's plan to start reopening the state beginning May the 4th in phase one and how that affects our EMS personnel.
Yeah, I did, Sam, a little bit, okay. But let me elaborate because I think people, you know, have questions about, will barbershops be open and what about going to the doctor? What will that look like? And kind of those, you know, things where you're in close contact with somebody just by necessity. You know, you go to the doctor, they examine you. You go to the barbershop, they cut your hair. And we're working on those, trying to see what that would look like in a phased-in approach. So at this moment in time, here we are on Wednesday, the 22nd, I can't tell you exactly what that's looked like. I was in conversations about that yesterday. We're looking at other states, looking at best practices. It's to be determined exactly what that's going to look like on May 4th.
Okay. Thank you. And Dr. Williams, did you have an opportunity to speak about the alternate care site that's in North St. Louis and how that's operating right now?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think, you know, that was always part of hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And as we said, to build out platforms so that should the need arise in the future, we can kind of pull them off the shelf. And so I think, thanks to the people of Missouri really doing social distancing and some arduous planning on our part, you know, we have not reached those worst case scenarios that were put out by people. You know, we have 2,100 ventilators in the state. And I think we've always had 1,300, 1,200 available. The alternative care sites, we've demonstrated we can do that. We can do it quickly. But at this point, we don't anticipate having to use those to any great degree. But we have that capacity. We have that tool in our toolkit should we need to use it sometime in the future, which I hope we don't.
Thank you. And so Dr. Williams, again, my apologies that I wasn't able to hear your opening remarks. Did you happen to discuss the new CDC guidelines for healthcare providers returning to work?
I did, but I can share those with you. So, for people, it's 7 days from symptom onset and 3 days from symptom resolution. You don't need a negative test. You don't need a doctor's note. And so that's for people with the disease. For people who are exposed, then you may return to work and just take your temperature twice a day, wear a face mask, and become symptomatic, let someone know immediately. So that's where we stand now on that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
From Ruby, are there any provisions for prisons to follow info on COVID pending tests? EMS is running codes and then being denied info about the COVID test results by the prisons.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand the question. We are, so is the question, you go run a code and they check for COVID-19 and nobody ever tells you the result?
I think that's the question.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't happen. Because, you know, technically, if you're exposed to anybody who's positive, the health department is supposed to do an epi workup and let you know. So if that is in fact happening, I'm talking to Ann Precise all day today about some other things. Why don't you email me that, especially if you know any specifics? And I'll just reinforce that policy that no, that wouldn't matter. You, as part of an epidemiological workup of a known positive, you'd be one of the first people we'd want to notify. So it's randall.williams@health.mo.gov. And if you could email me that and say, Randall, this is where it specifically happened, or if you don't have that information, you just say, I want to make sure this isn't happening, send that to me and I'll get back with you. And I'll check with Ann today.
Yeah, and if you email Dr. Williams, be sure to copy Sam so that he can make sure and follow up and make sure to connect back with you as well and be able to share that info with other folks.
But the short answer is no. If that is happening, it shouldn't be happening. We need to fix it.
Dr. Williams, this is Kat Probst with Adair County, and we are one of the sites that received the Abbott ID Now machines. Initially, yeah. We were thought to receive 300 to 350 tests a week, but this week we were only received 48. We've implemented a plan to cover 10 counties with that machine. Do you know when we will or how often we'll be receiving more of the cartridges to be able to accomplish that?
I was on a phone call with the White House yesterday, Admiral Girard, Ambassador Burks, with the head of Abbott Labs, the head of Roche Labs, about 300 on a conference call with the White House. You know, I was talking to Bill Whitmer this morning. It's, you know, just very frustrating to be told that, oh, they're out there. We're making 50,000 a day. You should be able to have them. And then we call the CDC where we get them from the IRR every day. And we ask for we want 5,000 a week to send you 400 or 500 a week. And we're told, well, we don't have them. And so, it's just very frustrating, you know, to be told that they're there and then called to say, okay, we've been told they're there. Can we have them? They go, well, we don't have them. So all I can commit to you is the moment I get them, you'll have them either that day or the next day.
Thank you.
But I don't understand. I mean, the head of Abbott Lab was on there and said, oh, yeah, we're making, you know, hundreds of thousands. I mean, I heard him say it. So it just makes you wonder where they are.
Dr. Williams, this is Dan Manley with Lee Summit. I had a question about the predictive modeling that you talked about with the four pillars that the governor announced. Is the state still using the IHME model, or has there been any change in that?
Absolutely not. We never really used it. We looked at it, but, you know, it's been widely, widely off. So the governor's committed, and we've been committed to using Missouri-specific data. So we worked with the Missouri Hospital Association and some consultants and University of Washington, WashU. And so we have our own predictive analytics. Like I said, you know, we think our peak was April 6th. I think at one point they were saying May 15th. So we have not used Dr. Murray's work to any degree. Right now it looks like our modeling equals April 6th. We're starting to see a decrease in hospitalizations and ventilatory capacity, which usually follows about 2.5 weeks later. So here we are on the 22nd. So we hope to see a decrease in mortality and ventilatory support this week and next, which we are kind of seeing. So as we go forward, we'll continue to use our own modeling. And much of that is driven from our testing, because we've been really, really purposeful about testing.
So is that modeling reflected in the healthcare utilization report that's published daily on the site?
Yes, you're seeing some of the results from that modeling, but not all the modeling. But yes.
Okay, thank you.
What you're not seeing in that is as much the predictive aspect of it, but you're certainly seeing the data we're putting into it.
Question of what should we expect and plan for this fall? Are you expecting that we'll be back in the same situation we're in now, or are there other things that we could put in place now to be more prepared for the resurgence or the anticipated resurgence in the fall?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think the big, you know, we are going to be spending, you got to remember, everybody is ramping up. I mean, there's saliva tests now for COVID-19. There's at-home testing for COVID-19. People, we've got 220 ventilators that we've ordered coming to Missouri. So obviously, everybody is going to use that 4 or 5 months to stockpile. The governor's committed to using Missouri companies to do that. And in the meantime, you're just going to see an incredible new technology. I mean, you know, we're having this conversation, but I mean, by the time we get to October, everybody may be able to test for COVID-19 at home with a saliva test or a nasal swab. And so I just think you're going to see this tremendous explosion of technological advancement around this. I wish the one thing they would come up with is a vaccine in that time frame. I think the question people always ask me is, well, what about schools? What's going to happen in schools in, you know, August and September? And I don't know the answer to that. But my hope clearly is that by the time we get to August and September, we'll be in a much, much better place. And then have to go from there. So I think the answer to your question is twofold. One, we'll be stockpiling. And two, you'll see technological advancements that'll make things we're thinking about today not as in front of us as they will be then, because the technology will change that.
Thanks, Dr. Williams. Other questions for Dr. Williams? This is your chance, folks.
Well, I'll jump off then. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, and really appreciate the suggestion about the waivers. That's something that I'm going to deal with today. It's a great question, and you know, I always learn something. I do these, you know, 4 or 5 times a day, and I always learn something I need to know. So greatly appreciate you taking the time. And clearly, just incredibly, the governor, I'm just incredibly appreciative of what you're doing. This is not like the flu. This is more infectious. Yeah, like I said, 10 to 14% of all the cases have been first responders and healthcare workers. So that makes it incredibly different. And so, people use the word heroes a lot, and in y'all's case, I think that's certainly true. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. We really, really appreciate everything you have done working ahead and providing the waivers and so forth, and also taking your time out to talk with us. So thank you so much.
Okay, and just send me that email about the prison, if you would. I'd love to follow up on that. Thank you. Okay. Y'all be safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams.
I'll give you the floor, Sam.
So, Dr. Braithwaite, I didn't know if anyone had mentioned the Kansas City Fire Department EMT, Billy Birmingham, today.
No, we haven't talked about any of those other issues. We kind of just got rolling shortly before you got started.
Okay. Well, it appears that we only have about 10 minutes, but I would like to take a moment to recognize Billy Birmingham, who was an EMT with the Kansas City Fire Department. And on April 13th, Mr. Birmingham died of COVID-19 after responding to several calls in which there were patients who tested positive for the coronavirus. And his death is the first known death of any EMS personnel or first responder within the state, and his funeral is being held today in Kansas City. Governor Parson has ordered the United States and Missouri flags to be flown at half staff at all government buildings in Cass, Clay, Jackson, and Platte counties, and at firehouses across the state today in his honor. And the flags will also be flying at half staff at the Firefighters Memorial in Kingdom City. EMT Birmingham served as a member of the Metropolitan Area Services Trust from 1998 to 2010 and continued his service as a member of the Kansas City Fire Department following the consolidation of MAST and the Kansas City Fire Department in 2010. He was also an ordained minister and founded Agape Love Ministries of Christ Unlimited in 2012, and he was 69 years old. So today I would ask that you all keep his family in your thoughts and your prayers today. Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Dr. Eric. This is Dr. Erica Carney with KCFD. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Sam, and the Bureau for acknowledging that. We actually are getting ready to start the funeral in about 10 to 12 minutes. So navigating a line of duty desk in the midst of a global pandemic has not been easy for the family or the department. And so the support given by the Bureau and your kind words definitely meant a lot to us and our agency. So I just want to thank you for acknowledging that, and we appreciate your kind words.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Braithwaite, I don't really have anything else for today. So unless there are any other questions or comments that anyone else has, I think we could probably wrap things up for today if you're all right with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. And I think we maybe need to do something to figure out how to make sure this works right the first time.
Can we ask for Randall Williams' email one more time, please?
It's sure. Just randall.williams@health.mo.gov.
Thank you.
You bet. And I think that, this is probably a good place to end. And just everybody, keep the folks in Kansas City in your prayers.
All righty. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining today. We appreciate it.